Well, go ask Hillary Clinton. She was the one in charge of this international criminal investigation, which never in history has a Secretary of State immersed themselves in an international criminal investigation. This is absolutely unacceptable. So people must be saying, how is this possible that they allowed it? Because Barack Obama was accepting millions of dollars of campaign contributions bundled by UBS. And Eric Holder represented UBS in private practice. And then Hillary Clinton fixed this. A very fair and balanced person, but this, to the magnitude in which I have personal eyewitness accounts, documentation, testimony under oath, this is the most sinister thing I have ever seen in my life. This is undermining our entire economy. This is something that allowed the rich and powerful to get away with it when other people don't have the big lawyers, they don't have the lobbyists, they don't have the direct contacts of politicians in Washington. They don't give big campaign contributions or hire people in their corporations. There's the mom and pop out there working in the hardware store, working on the farm, working as a firefighter. And they say, why do we have to pay for these people? And that's what I'm fighting for. I'm fighting for that, for the truth, and to expose the criminality within the Department of Justice and others.
I'm proud to show you another great product, Collodial Silver. Studies show that Collodial Silver has many health benefits, including antibacterial and antimicrobial. In fact, while employed at the UCLA Medical School in the 1980s, Dr. Larry Ford documented over 650 different disease-causing pathogens that were destroyed in minutes when exposed to small amounts of silver. Collodial Silver, unlike its modern prescription antibiotic counterpart, simply doesn't create resistance or immunity in organisms that are killed by it. It's also antiviral. Collodial Silver benefits can be experienced as antiviral for HIV and AIDS, pneumonia, herpes, shingles, and warts. Says Dr. Martin Hum from the Institute of Optimum Nutrition, he lists Collodial Silver as one of the natural remedies to stop viruses fast. Other benefits include wound care, pink eye, ear infections, anti-inflammatory, cold and flu, sinus infections, and pneumonia. Apex Health's Collodial Silver has 1100 ppm versus the 10 to 30 ppm normally found in Collodial Silver, which means this solution will convert to many gallons of product and is not only high quality, but also provides you the best value on the market, period. See studies and learn more with the links below and get yours today. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This episode, I have Bradley Birkenfeld coming to the show. For those of you who are not familiar with him, he's a whistleblower that exposed the Swiss banking offshore secret accounts going on in Switzerland that took down and completely reformed the Swiss banking system. He single-handedly caused this to happen, and as such, he was rewarded the highest reward ever given to a whistleblower in the United States. And he's going to come on and share what he experienced. Even though he had got a high reward, he also was the only one during the whole banking crisis that was put into prison. I mean, go figure. He was exposing major crimes, and he was the only one that went to prison. He's going to talk about that. He's going to talk about a lot of other things, how Hillary Clinton was the one that personally got involved to manage the investigation into the banks. There were 19,000 names and she only brought forward 4,700, and all the shenanigans and scandals that were going on. Obama, the day that Birkenfeld was convicted of a crime and sent to prison, Obama was playing golf with the head of UBS. And he's going to expose all of their crimes and what's going on. He now has a federal lawsuit going on against Kevin Costner and the heir to Estee Lauder's fortune, her son. So he's going to explain that as well. This is an explosive interview, and I'm so glad to have him on. And also for my patrons, I have the federal lawsuit that he has going on for against Costner and Lauder up on Patreon. And I also have uploaded the CIA form that he refers to in this show that talks about Clinton and wanting to deal with us on a political level. So you'll see that as well for my patrons. So let's now get into my interview with Bradley Birkenfeld. Hi, Brad. Welcome back to the program.
Oh, thank you for having me on, Sarah. It's a pleasure to be here.
You are considered the highest paid whistleblower, the biggest award ever given to a whistleblower, because you brought in so much money due to tax evasion with UBS and hidden secret Swiss accounts and so forth. Can you explain a little bit about what you actually did before we dive into a whole bunch of really interesting information?
Certainly. No, it's a fact that I was the highest rewarded whistleblower to expose the largest and longest running tax scandal in the world. And this is important for your audience to understand, because when I worked as a director at UBS in Geneva, Switzerland, we managed 19,000 accounts of Americans with $20 billion in assets. Now, that was just the U.S. desk alone. UBS had desks that covered Germany, France, Italy, Japan, South America, and so on and so forth. So you can only imagine the magnitude of what we're talking about other than just the U.S. desk at $20 billion. And what had happened was the bank was effectively having us break the law and secretly put a memo in our intranet, which they didn't tell us about. When I came across this, I actually confronted not only my direct boss, who was the head of the Geneva branch, but also to the head of legal and the head of compliance, who never answered me for three consecutive months. So I tried to do the right thing. And when they wouldn't even respond to me, I felt I was obligated to resign from the bank and give up my career and a very large salary. So that's exactly what I did back in October 2005.
And wouldn't you say that it's not just about tax evasion? I mean, tax evasion and hiding assets is the tip of the iceberg that's in front of a lot of criminal activities, such as money laundering, drug trafficking, organ human trafficking, all the nefarious activities that go around, you know, that happen in our world.
Well, this is exactly right. And I think the problem what we have today is the former administration under Barack Obama and Joe Biden turned a blind eye. They gave a lot of lip service to the world and saying how much they wanted to do work on it, but yet they were the ones accepting millions of dollars from campaign contributions from UBS themselves. So quite frankly, Barack Obama and Joe Biden are a bunch of frauds, and I can back it up with facts. And that's important to understand, because this whole thing revolves around the very fact that, as you rightly said, there's other nefarious, illegal actions taking place other than just tax evasion or hiding money from a spouse or a business partner. In fact, you also have a lot of the illegal business connected to Switzerland and numbered accounts there, such as insider trading, bribery, extortion, money laundering, prostitution, drugs, arms smuggling, terrorist financing, and so on and so forth. If you don't have accountability and if you don't have transparency, you have illegal conduct, period.
Yeah, and that's what you saw.
Yeah, and I witnessed this. And you know, if I saw something like that, I complained about it. And in my book, as you know, Lucifer's Banker, there's one gentleman in there who was making illegal oil sales with Saddam Hussein. That document, which is in my book, showing the numbered accounts and when they were opened, and the gentleman's name, Abdulaziz Abbas, who lived in a $15 million condominium in Rockefeller Center. I gave that to the Department of Justice, and they told me just because he has $420 million in six numbered offshore accounts on the American desk, that doesn't tell us anything. I said, he's breaking the law. He's violated the UN embargo sanctions of 1991. And he is a resident of the United States for tax purposes, which means he is breaking the law. The Department of Justice told me we're not interested in non-Americans. So, well, that's fine. That's wonderful.
Well, and he was doing that during the war.
Correct. Not only during the war, but prior to the war. So before, during, and after the war, he was making millions of dollars. And this was the very first client I gave to the Department of Justice, $420 million, six numbered accounts, lives in a $50 million condominium in New York City, and the Department of Justice doesn't care. And what's ironic here, Sarah, and I have to explain this to you and your audience because it's very important for them to understand, is that when I said this to them, and I even said it to 60 Minutes, to Steve Croft, who failed to report this properly, he deleted it. I said to him, I said, you know, Steve, you should probably go talk to the 3,000 family members who had their loved ones murdered on 9/11, because the DOJ said they're not interested in non-Americans. And they just deleted that out of the segment. So you can see that nobody wants to report on this. Nobody wants to investigate this. Nobody wants to indict the perpetrators here. But yet they chased me, the whistleblower that was exposing all of this.
And you were the only one that went to prison, right? I mean, you had all these people doing all this nefarious activities, and you were it was a hostile treatment by most of the government agencies, because you worked with the Department of Justice, the IRS, the Department of Treasury, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and the PSI. And isn't it true that the IRS was the best with you? I mean, they wanted to get money.
Well, this is why Senator Grassley passed the whistleblowing law, which is the most successful law in U.S. history, to bring monies back to the United States. And now, since 2006, when he passed the law and President Bush signed it into law, they've received over $60 billion. Now, from my own exposure, and again, I was the only banker in the entire financial crisis to go to prison. Now, how is it possible that all of my executive management above me, my bosses, were all given secret non-prosecution agreements, but yet they attacked me? This just shows you the ingrained corruption within the Department of Justice. Exactly what President Trump has been saying all along. This mirrors what he's been saying with this phony Mueller report. But more than that, when you begin to look at it, it shows that the Obama administration was at the heart of it. Not only were they taking money from UBS, Eric Holder represented UBS in private practice, and Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, gets involved in an international criminal investigation. This is scandalous. And quite frankly, Sarah, your audience are all the victims. Every American, 350 Americans, are the victims of Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama's scandal here by covering up the UBS fraud.
The scientists at LivePet are hard at work solving our cancer epidemic. They have the most promising cancer trials going on now with pet clinics around the country that I have ever seen. You can see the promising cancer research and trials going on some of the past shows that I've done. The links are below. While working with C60 and other ingredients, these talented scientists developed a hair growth serum that really works. They sat on it for years. After all, cancer is their focus. But they now realize how much the profits from this product could really help their cancer research. So the C360 Hair Growth product was launched. C360 Hair Growth is specifically designed to revive your hair growth by targeting hair follicles and restarting your hair growth cycle. C60, the active ingredient in C360 Hair Growth, reactivates hair follicles that have stalled due to hereditary hair loss, physical conditions, or environmental factors that may affect follicle production. You will begin to see visible results using C360 Hair Growth within 3 to 6 weeks. Buy today knowing that your future hair growth will help fund very promising cancer research. See more at the link below. And, I mean, this is the holy grail of getting at what we're trying, the corruption in the world and all the sleaze that we're trying to take care of to make this place a better place, with the trafficking and the just all these things. Now, WikiLeaks published something from Hillary Clinton where she stated that they needed to take care of the political solution must be engineered for the UBS, is what she said, which was that was her way of saying in an email that they need to somehow take care of this UBS problem. What else can you say about that?
Well, again, if your audience goes onto my website, lucifersbanker.com, and they go under DOJ corruption, you'll see a CIA secret memo, which was released by WikiLeaks and printed by Aftenposten. That's a Norwegian newspaper. And it's one page. It's very easy to read, but it's been deciphered at the very top, where you have a lot of acronyms, which was NSA, CIA, DOJ, and so forth. But the crux of this memo, which is only a page long, clearly states that the U.S. government, under Secretary Clinton and Foreign Minister Kalmi Ray from Switzerland, agreed that they needed to find a political solution to the UBS case. Not an economic one, not a justice one, but a political one. This was a foreign bank that was undermining our economy for decades. Not only doing that, but our tax and securities laws were being violated in the tunes of billions of dollars. And what does the Obama administration do? They send over Hillary Clinton, and she quietly settles this case by only getting 4,700 names out of 19,000. Sarah, that's a 75% failure rate. And I guarantee you, anyone listening, if they have a full-time employment and they fail 75% of the time, they're fired.
Okay, well, what names are in the other 75% that they got?
I don't know. I don't know every single name of the 19,000. I'm not an encyclopedia, but certainly I gave the U.S. government the keys to the kingdom, the plan to figure out exactly what was going on. And if the DOJ was so good, where have they been for the last three decades?
Yeah, they were worthless.
Worthless. The taxpayer, your audience who listens to this, pays taxes for these clowns to act like they're doing something. They're not only corrupt, they're incompetent, and they've got millions of dollars in budget, thousands of employees, offices all over, intelligence and so forth, and they can't break this. It takes one courageous whistleblower, myself, Brad Birkenfeld, to come in and expose the largest and longest running tax fraud in the world. So you begin to wonder, what else are they screwing up in our society to our detriment? And this is what's very, very serious. And that's why this case is a paramount exposure on why this government, the Department of Justice in particular, cannot be trusted.
Well, they're in the way. They're getting in the way of actual justice. And when you have actual bank accounts showing and proving trafficking and criminal activity and terrorist activity, which apparently we are in the middle of, you know, fighting a war on terrorism. And then you also have proof that somebody was selling oil to Saddam Hussein while we were in the middle of a war against him, which that's treason. What the heck?
Exactly. Well, this is it. This is where your audience should be outraged. They should be calling for investigation on Capitol Hill. They should have hearings on this. This got buried under the rug, and this is a crime of such magnitude. Nothing comes close. And this was landed on their lap, the DOJ, the SEC, the IRS, the U.S. Senate. I gave it to them all. And what did they do? All they did was turn around and attack the whistleblower because I'm exposing the corruption within the U.S. government. They condone this. And actually, when the DOJ is supposed to enforce the law, but instead they break the law, that is not only a crime, it's a crime on top of a crime. You failed to do your job, and then you broke the law on top of it. That's why this needs Senate hearings.
Okay, so now you have a new federal law or a new federal case going forward that's against the Kevin Costner and Estee Lauder's son, who inherited the fortune. He's worth like $15.9 billion and Kevin Costner's worth $250 million. But can you explain what the crux of this lawsuit is?
Well, I really don't want to get into the particulars, as you can understand, because we do have pending litigation in court in Miami, Florida. Your audience can go read the complaint, which is 31 pages. And certainly, I hope you maybe post it on your website. It's certainly on my website, lucifersbanker.com. But in essence, without going beyond the scope of the lawsuit, the complaint alleges that Leonard Lauder and Kevin Costner had offshore numbered accounts in Switzerland at UBS. And the reason why I brought this lawsuit is because I work there. I'm the whistleblower, and I know what I'm talking about, number one. But number two, Estee Lauder was my account holder. I managed her account. So, in fact, she had a secret numbered account evading taxes. But what's more troubling here, Sarah, more than that, in getting away slightly from the lawsuit because we do have pending litigation, which you can understand, if Leonard Lauder claims to be a Jew and the Swiss banks cheated the Jews during the Holocaust, and you live in New York, why would you ever leave money in a Swiss bank account? Ever? as well as, that's Leonard Lauder. Now, his brother, Ronald Lauder, he was the head of the World Jewish Congress. They're the ones that negotiated the settlement against the three big Swiss banks back in 1998, 21 years ago. Again, why would you keep money in these banks when, in fact, your brother actually negotiated, or the organization, the World Jewish Congress, in which Ronald Lauder was the president of, negotiated the settlement? Why would you ever keep money in those banks again? And you're a billionaire. Why would you need to do that?
Why would somebody do that, in your opinion?
Well, call Mr. Lauder, ask his opinion. I don't know what his reasons were.
Well, I suppose it's not just, a lot of these people are just avoiding taxes, but there's a lot more things that they're avoiding. Now, Costner, he was hiding $20 million account, according to what's in your lawsuit. And he also was hiding assets from his divorce settlement from his ex-wife. Now, he, according to your lawsuit, they harassed your publisher and forced you to take this out of the book, even though you had definite proof that they had these accounts. And they lied and said they didn't have this. Well, Costner lied and said he didn't have this and made you take it out of the book. And you had to rewrite the book. You had to hire all the things. You had to destroy the books that were already printed and reprint it. It also cost you a lot of money because now you no longer had as newsworthy of people that you had on the book. So they destroyed that part of it. So there's like an unknown cost to this to you. The lawsuit says that it was a $75,000 lawsuit. Now, are you going after more than $75,000? Because this, the cost to you is much larger than $75,000.
No, you have to read the lawsuit carefully. The lawsuit says the minimum amount is $75,000, which allows for this lawsuit to proceed. So just to make it clear, you pointed out the very interesting points in this case, from the books being destroyed, literary indemnity insurance increased and costly, lawyers to revet the book, and so on and so forth, lost time, reputation of my brand, and so forth. So I think it's very important, certainly in this country where we have a First Amendment right to tell the truth, and I do tell the truth, and that's why I'm the whistleblower. So I think it's very important for people to understand that's just the minimum. What we'll see later, once we move down the road on this lawsuit, we'll see what happens with my lawyers and what the defendants respond. So I feel very confident in this, and I know the facts. I work there. I'm the whistleblower. And just because the government scapegoated me doesn't mean I'm lying. I'm not lying. To the contrary, I'm telling the truth. And I have much more proof once we go this case forward, which will come out in this case.
I know you don't want to tell details, but how much more proof do you have? I mean, at a high level, what kind of facts and things do you have that could really aid the world at starting to heal from these nefarious activities like child trafficking and human trafficking and some of the real, real evil that's going on? How much evidence is behind this that you could help uncover and expose?
Well, let me give you an example. For instance, I've helped many foreign governments expose UBS for their wrongdoing. And this, quite frankly, is a global criminal enterprise. And I say that candidly. Why? If you go on my website, again, there's so much information and it's very helpful for you and your audience. Under UBS scandals, you'll find a drop-down called UBS fines, and I picked the top 10 of them. Now, these are not just UBS fines in America. They're around the world, in Germany, Japan, Australia, France, UK. So the point I'm trying to make here, the top 10 fines, which I have listed there, and they're all fully documented, comes out to $10 billion, Sarah. And they admit no wrongdoing. Who in their right mind over several years pays $10 billion in fines, admits no wrongdoing, and nobody goes to jail?
It's just crazy.
This is a license for criminal conduct. It's insane. And there's hardworking people around this country who are trying to make a living, try to pay their taxes, and you have the rich, elite, Hollywood stars and billionaires who think they can get away with it. And that's why this lawsuit has been filed. And that's why I will continue to fight for justice and to expose the criminal conduct, not just by possibly people who had offshore accounts, but also the corrupt Department of Justice, who is really the principal problem here, because you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. And it's certainly they weren't part of the solution.
Well, how disgusting is it for you to learn that the Democratic Party that was headed at the time by Obama and Hillary Clinton and all those characters and the Hollywood elite, who all call for higher taxes and people paying their taxes. They always talk about corporations stop avoiding taxes. And then you learn that they're all avoiding taxes and they're helping people avoid taxes in mass. I mean, how disgusting is that? I mean, what did you...
You're right. You're correct there. And you're upset. I can see that. And I'm upset, as well as your audience. And the rest of America should be upset. This is not the rich Republicans versus the poor Democrats. This is the one percenters on the Democrat side as well, who were hiding money. And now they claim, these are all the one percenters on the Republican side. False. And I have proof of it. And I've presented it. I went to four big agencies in my own government. How many more people do I need to talk to get the truth out? And the media sort of poo-poos it and doesn't really talk about it because, I was indicted. I was the only one to go to jail in the financial crisis. Are you joking? This is the biggest fraud in American history. And I've tried, and I continue to try, and I will continue to try, and I will succeed to get the truth out there so people like yourself and your audience can say, this guy's done a great thing for America. He's brought back $25 billion to the U.S. from Swiss banks. Think about that for a second. $25 billion went from Swiss banks into U.S. banks, gets invested, and gets taxed forever. So I don't think there's another person in U.S. history that's done what I've done.
Well, but to me, what is really disgusting is what's beneath all this and what they're not using. It's a treasure trove of information, just like the NSA's data, just like WikiLeaks, that they have actual factual documentation to get at all the criminals, to get at all the terrorists that they claim they were going after. And they do nothing with it.
Well, they do something. They bury it is what they did, which is even worse. So you violated your oath to the U.S. Constitution. That's your first crime. The second thing is you failed to prosecute the perpetrators of these crimes. And then the smaller taxpayers in this country have to bear the burden. Why? That's not right. And I intend to get to justice. And I have pled this to people in Congress and so forth. Someone's got to take a stand and do their job, because it's long overdue that this has to be exposed. Just because it was a few years ago, that doesn't mean that we still can't investigate this and find out who was behind this cover-up between Hillary Clinton, Eric Holder, and Barack Obama. And you don't see them talking about this, but they say, everything is fine. No, it's not fine. You covered it up, which makes you a part of the crime. That's called an accessory.
Well, where are the other 15,000 names, and what activity is it exposing? They're continually doing crimes like this.
Well, go ask Hillary Clinton. She was the one in charge of this international criminal investigation, which never in history has a Secretary of State immersed themselves in an international criminal investigation. This is absolutely unacceptable. So people must be saying, how is this possible that they allowed it? Because Barack Obama was accepting millions of dollars of campaign contributions bundled by UBS. And Eric Holder represented UBS in private practice. And then Hillary Clinton fixed this. But more than that, after she fixed this whole case, how do we even know she got 4,700 names? Who selected the names? What was the criteria utilized? And why didn't you get all the names? Four people rob a bank and you get one person, you let the other three go? This is madness.
Well, Hillary Clinton is a complete criminal. And she's still walking free. And there's more and more things. So now she was in charge of this investigation. I mean, she ran it behind the scenes.
Well, again, if you go, your audience goes and reads this CIA secret cable that I have on my website, which was released by WikiLeaks, thank goodness, it exposes exactly what I said all along, that Hillary Clinton was a part of this Not only did she not get all the names, they didn't find the bank properly, and they let all the senior executives have secret non-prosecution agreements, but yet they indict the whistleblower, myself, who made it all possible. So you begin to say to yourself, what is going on here? This is like Alice in Wonderland. Up is down and down is up.
It actually is. And then they prosecute people on the street for having marijuana or something. And then these kind of people skate with nothing.
Well, this is exactly it. You know, Eric Holder said, oh, these banks are too big to prosecute because it would cause a catastrophic event to our economy. They're the ones who started it, you idiot. The banks are the problem, and you're the ones who allowed it because you represent them in private practice. That's called a conflict of interest. He must have slept through that class in law school. It's called a conflict. And this is really disturbing because what you're saying is, we'll just let the banks just break the law and just write a check. I've coined the phrase, Sarah. It's called political prostitution. And unfortunately, this has been going on under the Eric Holder Obama administration for so long. All these banks walked away. They didn't do anything. And they're all their friends in private practice and so forth. So this is extremely, extremely dangerous.
Weren't you a Democrat before all this started too? So this isn't you against like some Republican, you know, justice kind of thing. You were a Democrat when this all started.
Well, you make a very good point, Sarah. And, you know, I come from Boston. I'm a fairly level-headed, educated guy. But, you know, you get influenced by the area you're in. And I knew some Democrats and so forth. And you begin to look at it. But then when it opens your eyes, you begin to see this. It begins to really turn your stomach. And again, I'm not saying that I'm perfect, far from it. But what I said was, I can't even trust the people here that say they're so high and mighty and ethical. And I'm not saying that Republicans haven't done some bad deeds. They have. We're going to call it on both sides. I'm very fair and balanced person. But this, to the magnitude in which I have personal eyewitness accounts, documentation, testimony under oath, this is the most sinister thing I have ever seen in my life. This is undermining our entire economy. Okay, it's $20 billion, but still, this is something that allowed the rich and powerful to get away with it when other people don't have the big lawyers, they don't have the lobbyists, they don't have the direct contacts of politicians in Washington, they don't give big campaign contributions or hire people in their corporations. There's the mom and pop out there working in the hardware store, working on the farm, working as a firefighter. And they say, why do we have to pay for these people? And that's what I'm fighting for. I'm fighting for that, for the truth, and to expose the criminality within the Department of Justice and others.
So this is $20 billion from maybe 4,700 names that they claim they got, which probably aren't the biggest ones out there. So it just tells you how much is really sitting out there. I mean, there could be trillions. I mean, this, they did not get the biggest names, I assure you. So the $20 billion is just gives you an indication of what it really could be that's sitting out there.
Well, here's another fact that you can put in comparison to the UBS case. UBS was fined $780 million, which was actually a joke. $200 million went to the SEC. So in essence, they fined them $580 million. It's a slap on the wrist. This was the largest bank in the world.
Well, isn't it less than what they made? You give them a fine for less than what they made, so it doesn't matter. It's just part of doing business at that point.
Well, what they did was they targeted from 2000 to 2007, 8 calendar years. And each year they made around $200 million in profits. All of this information came from my information I handed over. So 8 years times $200 million is $1.6 billion. Now, they only fined them $580. So where's the other billion? Just to make the American taxpayer whole, the Department of Justice and the Obama administration cheated 350 million Americans. Cheated. This is scandalous.
And they talk about how people need to pay their fair share in taxes on the campaign trail nonstop.
Yeah. And it gets better, though, Sarah. Now we, we now have Joe Biden running for president, and that's fine. That's his right. He can run for president. But I'll educate you and your audience a little bit better with respect to Mr. Biden. The problem with him is he was vice president for 8 years, and he claimed to be such a great senator from the state of Delaware. Well, all you have to do is go back and read a few articles from the New York Times, a very Democratic newspaper, and criticizing him as the man who did nothing about the offshore ability of Delaware to open companies for drug traffickers, embezzlers, money launderers, and so forth. I mean, they've targeted Delaware as a very big problem. The World Bank has, a variety of oversight committees have, but Joe Biden hasn't done anything. So why does Joe Biden think he can run for president or been vice president for 8 years when he is condoning and shielding Delaware for this illegal practice? This is something that the American people should be asking themselves.
Well, the American people need to stop voting for criminals. They got to get their arse, you know, their head pulled out of their arse. What else did you learn through this whole process? Because I know you did some major soul searching. You really learned a lot and saw a lot, way more than you're exposing. So what else can you tell us that you learned through this process?
Well, think about it this way, Sarah. You know, there's a lot of people in this world who are less fortunate than ourselves. They come from countries in Africa or South America or Asia or wherever it might be. Third world developing nations is what I'm referring to. And then you have dictators from those countries, various countries. And they have been caught countless times, and some haven't been prosecuted, who put their money in Switzerland. Now, can someone tell me why the European Central Bank, the Federal Reserve, Department of Justice does not clamp down and say this is a worldwide problem? Switzerland has condoned this for decades, and nobody's doing anything about it. They're just letting it happen as if nothing's wrong. The problem we're having is they're using the Federal Reserve to move dollars, and the government's not doing anything to stop this illicit operation on a global basis. I've said it time and time again, and this is about taking money from people who deserve to have a roof over their head, or food on the table, or clothing on their back. And they come from these poor countries, and these dictators steal it. Why haven't we done anything about that?
It's time for evil to be taken down. It's evil. So that's what I'm always fighting. And we're so fortunate to have someone like you that risks everything, essentially. And luckily, you came out ahead, but you're still risking a lot to expose this. And so I really appreciate it. I know what's on the line when you're out there fighting this. So I really appreciate this. And I'd like to ask you, what can people do to either help you or learn? What do you tell people as far as where you want them to go and learn, you know, your website, all sorts of things? So take the floor.
Well, I would say this. I really do love lecturing and informing and educating people on this matter because it's very important. It's not just about me. Look, I don't need the money to sell books. That's not the point. But the point is that the book gives people an insight to this illicit business that's been going on for so long. And I would just ask them, try and get an understanding of what we're talking about here today through my book or the website, as I said, but also to call their senator and say, why is this guy the only one who's trying to make America great, who did make America great, who continues to fight for the injustices? Why is it that nobody's paying attention to this man who's helped? And quite frankly, I've done something that no one's ever done before, and I'm the only one to get punished. So I would say call your senator or call the White House and tell the president, pardon this man. This man deserves a pardon. And it would just show how corrupt Barack Obama really was.
Yeah, I think it just shows that there's human compromise. People are afraid to do what's right. I don't understand why people have so little courage. It's either human compromise or complete lack of courage and leadership. Leadership takes courage. To be a real leader, you have to have courage. You have to, you know what's at risk, but you do it anyways because it's the right thing to do. And I don't see a lot of those people around. And that's what we're lacking. And you showed that courage because you knew it was the right thing to do.
And your audience has to understand, yes, I did get a big whistleblowing award, and that's fine. But that did not come from the taxpayer. That came from the fraud I exposed. But more importantly, I started whistleblowing back in March of 2005, a year and a half before the law was even passed. So when people said you did it for the money, that's not true. I didn't even know the law wasn't passed. And even when it was passed, I didn't know it existed. So it was just a very weird twist of fate. But actually, you're correct. I did what was right. I quit my job. I reported this to the bank. I went to the board of directors. And when they covered it up, I went to my own government, who turned on me. This is the biggest sin that you could ever have. And I helped more Americans than anyone has ever helped by doing the right thing.
Well, didn't the government turn on the American people? Isn't this an indication of how the government turned on the American people? They didn't just turn on you. They turned on all of us.
Well, this is right, Sarah. You should be upset. You got cheated. You paid your taxes, but yet, you know, Barack Obama and Eric Holder and Hillary Clinton, they concocted this cover-up, and they cheated all of America. This Democrat and Republican, independent, whoever you are, everyone got cheated because they thought that they could get away with this. This is what's wrong. Barack Obama's got to be held accountable for this. He was in charge when this happened. The day I got sentenced in Florida by a judge, Barack Obama was playing golf with the chairman of UBS Americas. I mean, are you joking? It is pathetic. It's pathetic.
What's your website?
It's www.lucifersbanker.com. And I would highly recommend everyone to go look through it. There's a lot of articles and documents and PowerPoint presentations and interviews and photographs. But call the White House. Say Brad Birkenfeld deserves a pardon. Brad Birkenfeld stood up for America. And Brad Birkenfeld stood up in the injustice of a corrupt DOJ.
Can I get you back once you have your video up and going? Because we really got to get you back. And once you're farther along in this lawsuit and you can talk about it.
I would be delighted, and my attorney will be delighted to be a part of it as well, Sarah. And I'm just so happy that you've taken a vested interest in my plight. And as I said, I did get an award, and that's very important, but that came from the crime that I exposed and eradicated. I took an illegal business and put it out of business. One man.
Well, that's what people can do. I think you saw the courage of conviction and what people can do when they stand behind what they believe.
Precisely correct. Again, Sarah, think of it this way. Think of all the people listening who are married with children or even grandchildren. What are we going to do for the next generation in our society? Don't we want to make it a better life for them as well? And if we don't do the right thing now, where are we going? What are we going to do? We need to teach them the proper way to deal with bad things in society. If you see something wrong, say something. Silence is complicity. It doesn't work. You must say something or do something. And that's really the standard for everyone in this society. Let's get rid of waste, fraud, and corruption in our society. And that's why whistleblowers are so important, and they expose the wrongdoing of others.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure, Sarah. And thank you to your audience, and God bless.